from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Pause.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Is this actually going to be Doc Pandya, or is it an AI version of him? I know he's a busy guy with surgeries and all that stuff. Dibs and I were just watching stuff online. There's an AI-generated press conference of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan just torching Brandon Ayuk. And it's John's voice. It's John Lynch's voice.
So scary.
He's like, Brandon doesn't want to win. We offered this dude $26 million. He doesn't want to take it. Just absolutely obliterates him. And it's like, you wouldn't know any better. It's him. This is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. AI.
Really scary. And it's scary to think about, like, our jobs could get AI-ified rather easily. But I wonder if our next guest worries about robots coming for him. It's a transition right there. Take that, AI.
Well played. And all guests, including those who aren't real, on 95.7 The Game, appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, it's time for Clear to Play, where we take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Doc, is that you?
It is really me, yes. Not a robot. It's me.
Oh, you are real and spectacular. That's fantastic. What's not spectacular is the fact that Christian McCaffrey is already hurt. And I saw you do a lengthy thing on this, so let everybody know what the Niners are looking at with McCaffrey's calf.
Yeah, so in general, you know, with these calf strains, we do see a tendency across all NFL teams to see these soft tissue injuries pile up early on. So nothing to be concerned about is there something wrong with, like, how the 49ers are trading, et cetera. But with these calf strains, what you do worry about is, number one, you know, where is it located in the calf? If it's lower down, a bigger issue, you worry about that, you know, being more time. You also worry about how many muscles are involved and, you know, is there a lot of fluid in that area over there? So in general, if you look at NFL players, you get these quote-unquote calf strains. You're looking at 3 to 4 weeks in terms of return to play. The good news is it seems that they weren't super concerned on it based on what Shanahan was saying, but once again, anytime an explosive athlete gets that calf strain, you do worry about, is this going to be something that lingers on into the season?
Yeah, especially when you don't have Brandon Ayuk, and you may not, depending on how his hold-in goes. And also Trent Williams holding out. What's the health impact on those two guys not really being out there doing things?
You know, I get a little bit more worried about someone who's at an explosive position like Brandon Ayuk for the number one reason is that you need to have timing, you need to use your fast twitch fibers, you just can't recreate that. And for someone like that who goes for a period of time where they're not playing and then suddenly has to jump into a camp, wherever they are, whether it's the 49ers or with the Steelers or wherever he ends up, then suddenly you're going from nothing to very explosive activity, and that's where you can get set up for injury. For Williams, I get less worried about it because he's not a fast twitch athlete. He needs to more preserve his body given injury history, and actually, probably for him, less reps, less wear and tear will probably do good for him heading into a long season, as opposed to someone like Brandon Ayuk, where you worry about suddenly he's going to hop right in, not have those reps, and have less time for his body to adapt.
Yeah, Doc, let's talk about Trent Williams for a sec, because it is really interesting. I'm with you. No concern right now. It's probably better that he's not practicing. But when you're 36 years old, 320 pounds, you've had injuries each of the last couple of years. If that person came to you and said, I want a contract extension, from a health standpoint, how would you answer that?
You know, just looking at purely, not looking at what he means to the team or what he's done in the past, and it's hard to justify doing a longer-term contract or an extension for that. You just know that all the data suggests that you've already had a lot of degenerative issues. You've missed time in the past. Basically, the probability is that you're probably going to get injured again, and you know, potentially this year or next year. So I think that can be a little bit more difficult. A lot of it is, you know, based on the evidence of what he's provided and the fact that when he's not there, the team doesn't do well. But then you wonder, well, is he not going to be there anyway? Is he going to get injured? Should he bring someone else, groom someone else in there? So I think from a health standpoint, the numbers don't favor him, but his importance is really high. So if he can stay healthy, he's huge for Brock Purdy.
Ricky Pearsall's second injury in his first camp. He had the hammy. Now he's got the shoulder. What's your concern level for the young wide receiver who may wind up starting if he's healthy?
You do start getting a little worried about it. Just you think of someone who's explosive and, you know, kind of the way he plays. I mean, we've seen kind of what happens with Debo, explosive athlete, supposed to be playing really well, but then gets injured just the way that he plays. And the one I get more worried about, less about his hamstring, you know, that's something that you'll see, as I mentioned, kind of early on in the season. But the shoulder injury, which, quote-unquote, is re-aggravated, when something like that comes up, you get a little bit worried because, number one, this is not really a lot of contact. And if a player is already starting to aggravate their shoulder, what is that going to mean in, a, you know, 16, 17 games into the season where he's taking contact repeatedly? So, once again, something to watch very closely. Hopefully this is something that's just like a shoulder muscle strain or an AC joint strain. Nothing big, just a little bit aggravated. But once again, you worry about a younger player already coming in with two different injuries and two different parts of their body.
Doc Pandya, and Doc, it was a number of weeks ago that you agreed with me that all we want for Christmas is Steph Curry to return home safe from the Olympics. I guess what, maybe two games to go where we still have to hold our breath. But what do you think of his workload and how it'll affect the season?
You know, actually from a game standpoint, he's only been averaging like 21, 22 minutes a game. And, you know, obviously his season average is around 32 or 33. And even when he's on the floor, if you kind of track movement and exertion and how much he's running, it's less. He just has to do less playing around these players. So I think the games themselves, I'm not necessarily worried based on the way that they're using him in terms of those actually wearing his body down. Now, barring some sort of freak injury, I think the bigger concern is how did these Olympics, even though he's not playing a lot, taking him away from doing those other things that get him ready for a season, the working out, the flexibility work, all those things that make him such a great athlete. So I think that's something to look at more than kind of is this Olympics wearing him down. It's just, can he prepare for the season the way that he needs to, particularly with younger players around him where he may be asked to do more next year.
Just one more on the Olympics, Doc, because I'm all in and I'm so excited for tomorrow. Sydney McLaughlin-Levrone goes for gold in the 400-meter hurdles. She coasted in the semis. How much does a coast like that really help you preserve energy? And what are you all in on in these track and field games?
So, you know, from that coasting, it really does tremendously do so. I was a track athlete in college and coached a little bit in college as well, too. And one of the things we tell our athletes was that, look, if you can win your race, get on to the next level, that extra level of exertion, that 5 to 10% makes a huge difference, because that's really what separates you when you're in a final. It's number one, not only how fast you run, but have you preserved yourself in all these rounds. A lot of people don't see it. They just see the finals. For me, as just a fan watching track, it's been amazing how so many U.S. runners have won at the end of races. We saw the 400 meter where, you know, they're winning at the end. You see the 1500. I mean, it's pretty remarkable just how great they're doing at the end, which really is all about heart. You know, you train for all these things, but at the end of the day, it's how much can you grit down and push your body at the end. So it's been pretty amazing watching them do that in these Olympics.
Yeah, and Sydney tomorrow goes for not only the gold, but the world record, her record, 12:30, Doc. We'll be all in on that.
Absolutely, he'll be in there. Maybe the Sydney McLaughlin jersey in the cart, you know?
What's your what's your best 40 time, Doc?
The point, so, you know, I ran, we didn't run the 40 in college. I ran the 100. I ran a 10.600 in college, which serves me no purpose anymore. But, yeah, I was around, that probably convert to like a you know, mid 4.6, 4.7, 40. But yeah, as you guys have seen, I'm no NFL wide receiver. I'm more of a kicker.
10.6 is legit though, Doc. Let's put some respect on your 100 times.
Listen, if you get to the 40-yard line and you're only half a second behind Xavier Worthy, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Good Lord.
About a one play NFL career.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, Doc, good to talk to you.
All right, take care, guys.
There he goes. Doc Pandya, the real version of him, and the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. That's funny because the video of that in the Hard Knocks thing, the Giants coaches were all teasing Brian Daboll because Daboll, he asked at one point when Worthy was going through his 4.21, he broke the record for the 40. He asked the other execs and coaches with the Giants, he goes, do you think that if I started at the 20 and Xavier started at the goal line, do you think he would catch me? And they're all looking at him. Like, have you all seen Brian Daboll? Like, even if he was in great shape, but he's not. I mean, oh my God, it wouldn't even be close. And Daboll was like offended by that. He's like, you give me a 20-yard head start? Everyone's like, dude, it wouldn't even be close. Like, he'd catch you.
That's enough for me,
yeah,
Doug.
If I was at the 20-yard line and Xavier was at the goal line and someone shot the starter gun, he'd catch me by the time I was at the 30. Forget the other goal line or wherever the hell you're going. Oh my God, it wouldn't even be close.
Yeah, just the amount of speed, and it's just ridiculous.
But not with Doc Pandya.
No, and I'm just looking at Xavier Worthy's best time in the 100 meters, 10.6. And that was years ago time. When he was younger, but yeah, I like your chances, Doc.
Yeah,
bring it.
Pretty special. Pretty special. All right, speaking of special, this was interesting. This is different kind of content now. Everybody is talking about Brandon Ayuk across the NFL platforms. Not everybody is talking about Brandon Ayuk with his agent standing right behind them. But that happened at Raiders camp today. Devontae Adams trade? Or maybe Ryan Williams has 12 other clients and some of them play with the Raiders. But anyway, Mike Garofalo is among those talking on NFL Network, NFL Training Camp Live, and Ayuk's agent, Ryan Williams, is standing right behind him. Take a listen.
Guys, it doesn't get much more awkward than this. I'm about to give you a Brandon Ayuk update. And if we get a little wide right here. Hi, Ryan.
Oh, God.
Brandon Ayuk's agent, Ryan Williams, is in attendance here at Raiders practice.
Can we ask him?
Why does he not have a microphone? Well, why does he not have a microphone in his hand? Well, because he's declining comment. I asked him to come join us, give us an update, give us the best information he could possibly give. And he's like, nope, I am not commenting. He did say to me, nothing is done. He also said, stop paying attention
Mike,
to everything
just
you
yell
read
to
on
him.
X and think it's...
Ryan, if you could hear me, say something, yeah, Ryan.
He can hear me. That's what makes this so awkward. So I got to give you a Brandon Ayuk update. You know what? And if there's anything wrong with what I'm saying, just feel free to interject at any point. There is no deal for Brandon Ayuk to go anywhere as we sit here. I told you it doesn't get much more awkward than this. There is no deal. The 49ers had those trade talks with multiple teams, including the Pittsburgh Steelers, from what I understand. But there is no trade agreement in place. There is no contract finalized. We will continue to monitor the situation.
Who's your source, Mike?
To see where it goes from here. I wish this was my source. I wish this source would be on the record. He's got to go. He's very busy. He got a call. Who's on the phone?
This is like an action trade.
Who are you
talking to? This is like an action
show. Here's the phone.
There is nothing done at this point. Again, I think we're getting close.
Yeah.
I really and truly, honestly believe that we are getting close. We are not there yet.
Okay, we're getting close, he says, there at the end. And he is a big voice. He is very, very tapped in. And that's something I would trust. But like I would love to have asked a follow-up question. We're getting close to what?
Exactly.
Are you talking about a trade? Are you talking about some sort of final answer, some clarity? What are we getting close to? There are plenty of reports out there about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I understand that, and I know that some of them are very close with executives with the Steelers. I have no doubt in my mind that the Steelers have been trying their little tuckuses off for months, but I'm mindful of the fact that that means that through all that time, March, April, May, June, July, and a week of August, you still haven't gotten it done. So something is wrong there. And this idea that's being thrown out there that the Steelers are like, we're drawing the line. There will not be any players headed to the 49ers in this I'm sorry. Do you have a say here?
Well, they have a say to the extent that their offer can include players or not.
Sure, but my point is this idea that, oh, we're close, it's imminent, it's happening, it's almost done. I don't buy it.
But you just never know until it's actually done.
Right? Like, you're gonna have to give the Niners an actual deal or the answer is going to be no.
Well, I don't think that you can talk about 6 months, and that is roughly 180 days. I would doubt that they had conversations on all 180 days. Hmm. So, you know, working on it since March means... I mean, yeah, you called in March, and maybe you called a couple times in April, and you checked back, and who knows how hot it's gotten. It seems like of late there have been probably more conversations than ever before, because the sense around the league is that Brandon Ayuk wants to be traded and the Niners are at least open to hearing offers. I think we can all, based on all the reporting we have, we can accept that as the baseline reality. And whether it's Washington and Cleveland, New England and Pittsburgh, or other teams, it feels like the idea of acquiring Brandon Ayuk is something that is likely or a certainty. And so, you know, Pittsburgh is probably figuring out what they're willing to do and what the Niners are looking for. And if it totally doesn't match up, I don't think that you would still be hearing reports about it being close or they're at the goal line or, you know, all the other reporting that we've gotten out of Pittsburgh.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
If it was a dead deal, I think that you would hear a lot less.
I don't think dead. I just think that it's potentially stalled or they're trying to go a different avenue because, in other words, if it were easy, this would have been done by now. You know, I see all the reports from people I do really believe that Brandon Ayuk is very comfortable with the Steelers' financial offer. So the finances that are on the table have been agreed to by Pittsburgh. Schefter's essentially said that. You know, we know that there are a couple of teams that Brandon will agree to the money, but those are the teams that have not agreed with the 49ers. And we know there's teams that the 49ers have agreed with, but those are the teams that Brandon doesn't agree to the money or won't go there. So I get all of that. Therefore, if the Brandon side is done for the Steelers, then the only thing they're working on is how to compensate the 49ers. And this isn't that complicated. Like, honestly, if we also believe the report that no player will leave the Steelers in this deal, the Niners will only get picks from Pittsburgh. Well, how complicated is this then? What do you want? Do you want one? Is it two?
Well, maybe they want 2 ones.
Right, but that's a very quick conversation. 2 ones, no. Okay, then we move. Like, again, the only way that this could still be alive is if now you're trying to get creative. You're trying to get a third team involved in this so that the Niners receive a player. I don't know if the Niners care about PR, but I know this. If they only get picks in return, they're going to get hammered.
Yeah, well, they're most likely going to get hammered anyway. And they have been getting hammered in many quarters and certainly by a lot of fans. And if Brandon Ayuk is traded, no matter what the compensation is, who do you think fans are going to blame? They're going to blame the 49ers for messing it up and having one of their favorite players play for a different team. So no matter what happens in the realm of PR, if Brandon Ayuk is no longer a Niner, the Niners will get hammered.
For the most part, there will be plenty that point fingers at Brandon, too.
I don't think he gets out scot-free.
He doesn't get out scot-free on
this.
But
I think that the Niners bear the brunt of the negative PR. And
sure.
Even if they get 2 first-round picks, many fans will say, oh, just like DeForest Buckner, when you muck that up, you buck that thing up. When you got a first-round pick, Granny's not biting. You got a first-round pick and you blew it.
You threw him a curve in the dirt and he just spit on it.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll come back with the high cheese
a little bit later.
1-0, what
it's
else
right.
you got?
You know, I got more.
The Brandon Belt eye back here.
Totally. You are pretty good on the dump button. So even if they do get, you know, a first and a second-round pick back, many fans will say, well, you're not going to make the most of those anyway because you guys always seem to screw it up. So I don't know. If Brandon leaves, yes, there'll be many fans who are down on Brandon, but I looked at the schedule, Mark, and they don't play the Steelers again until 2027.
Yeah, good time to send him there.
Yeah, so even if, I mean, even if you wanted to, you know, payback is a female dog. Well, you have to wait till 2027, and I can hold a grudge that long.
Oh, I know you can.
Yeah.
You have.
And I will.
How many you still got from, like, the 80s?
Oh, boy, probably 10 or 11. I got a couple.
Not six.
Yeah.
Not seven.
If I ever see Lincoln Schuman again.
Who that?
He's the pitcher for Coffee Klatch who threw like mid-70s, and he was your Ben Igo.
Did he put one in your ribs?
No, but he brushed me back, and he didn't have to. I was already up there crying. I was crying before I even got in the batter's box. I was 10.
Yeah,
was,
but legitimately, so was he.
No, he was 12.
Okay.
And it was an intimidation sensation.
You sure? Maybe he just lost control of a fastball.
Nah. Lincoln, I'm coming for you.
12-year-old doesn't know where the ball's going. Fact that you're afraid of someone named Schuman is hilarious.
Hello, Schuman.
Care. Yeah.
He was like 5'11". He's throwing cheese.
I got something for you.
Yeah?
I got something for you. You know Mike Reese.
Yeah.
Mike Reese.
Okay.
Pretty high-level Boston reporter. Pretty high-level. Been with ESPN for a long time. And he just publicly stated, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know if this amazes me or makes me mad. I'm not sure yet. Mike Reese reports that the Patriots' offer was in the range of, what do you think? Go ahead, guess. Money per year, AAV, four-year extension. How much per year?
$29.5 million. That's my guess. Was I too low? $31
million? Keep going.
$32
million. $32 million. Dollars
per year?
Per year.
Yeah. Major.
That would be the second highest paid receiver
on average annual.
The history of the National Football League.
$32 million.
So I don't,
that is upwards of $29 million.
Well, the first two thoughts that popped to mind, you're sort of like, hey, Brandon and Ryan, his agent, like, you guys there? You turned that down?
That's AJ Brown money. He's making 32.
Is he?
Over 3 years. 3 and 96.
Okay.
That's what AJ got this year.
Okay.
Second highest paid.
But we all understand the idea of not wanting to go to New England right now because they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an equal part of me that now, if that's confirmed, keep having to use the word if, but if that's confirmed, then as the 49ers are concerned in this one, again, that to me just doubles down on the idea that the 49ers should call Brandon's agent today and say, we're done having conversations. I don't even want to talk to you. Because now you're in a very disingenuous space. Again, follow a very simplistic timeline. The season ends, Brandon wants to be paid, and he wants to be paid by the 49ers. The 49ers' response is, well, we love you, and we would like to pay you, but not that much, and here's why. We have Brock Purdy looming. We've got all these great players, and that can make you mad or not. You can understand it, or it makes you mad. Okay, it makes you mad. You say, that's it. Trade me. And the Niners go, okay, we will. We have found a trade partner that satisfies what we need and more then satisfies what you were asking us for financially.
I can't imagine he was asking them for 32.
Correct.
Or more than 32.
So we have more than gone out of our way to figure this out. We got a trade, and you get to be the second highest paid wide receiver in the history of the game. So, Brandon, you good?
They say they don't want me.
And you say no?
To $32 million average annual?
I'm out. This conversation's over. Get out of my office. Get off my phone.
Well, what was the guaranteed? We got to talk about the guaranteed.
$12. Like $12.
What
are we
stunning. Doing
here?
That's a really good question, Dibs.
Thank you. What we're doing is we are folding our arms and we're saying, no, I want to go to Pittsburgh. Find a deal with Pittsburgh or
I'm
or,
so, I
or
already,
watch
I,
what I do.
I already hung up my phone.
Watch what I do.
I don't hear
watch
you.
What I do to your season.
I don't hear you.
I'll see you tomorrow as I hold in again.
I don't hear you.
And you know what? Maybe tomorrow I'll show up in my pajamas.
Hey, Brandon, we'll see you in the aisles. We're like sponsored by Safeway.
Look at you.
Matt Barrows. Tapped in. Dialed in.
Love him.
Information sensation.
That's a buck.
The Athletic joins us next. Willard and Dibs.
Possibly.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I'm glad we've arrived at a time where maybe we can get some new or additional answers. And I don't mean in terms of like, is it done or where's Brandon going? I have so many questions about why the hell this is even happening.
What the hell's going on?
Like, why? I got why questions. Not what, not when, why? Why are they caving to this demand?
That was borderline Nancy Kerrigan right there. Why?
Why? Yeah, so let's ask somebody who knows.
Why?
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's go to that guest line. Our very good friend, it's been too long, Matt Barrows, The Athletic, joins us on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Matt. What's cooking?
Oh, cooking. The back of my neck is what's cooking. I've been out in the sun for about 15 straight days there, watching these camps and trying to keep one eye on the field and one eye on the sideline in case Brandon Ayuk makes one of his appearances.
It's so crazy, isn't it? I mean, an August unlike any other. This is a very odd story for August. So, Matt, let's dive in. That is my first question. Why are the 49ers, if they are, so motivated to actually grant Brandon Ayuk's request?
I think they're motivated to force Brandon Ayuk into making a decision. I think that they are frustrated by this whole thing. They're still not certain whether he wants to be a 49er. And here we are in mid-August, or early August, rather. It feels like mid-August. And we haven't sort of reached this basic conclusion. Ayuk has flirted with the Commanders and with the Steelers, and he apparently wants to go to Pittsburgh. He's also said he wants to return here. So to me, I'm just trying to, put these tea leaves in some sort of order. This is all done to sort of force the issue to shake something loose. And to make sure that if he does want to come back, this is happening now, and that he gets back in camp now so that there is a bit of a runway for him to get going before the first game on September 9th.
Yeah, and that runway would be getting shorter and shorter, 33 days until that actual opener. And it's just so weird, Matt, to hear about all the reports of him holding in. And I just wonder, what is he doing? He shows up to the facility, and what does he actually do while he's there?
Well, he does go to the meetings and, does the locker room stuff, talks with his teammates. So he's engaged in everything except for the practices. And he's also avoiding a fine by showing up. I think this point was made by Mike Silver in the Chronicle that when this first started in late July, the perception was, this is a very strong positive sign for the 49ers retaining Brandon Ayuk, getting a deal done. He's there. He wants to be there. That's obvious. But now, as we've gone into, 2.5 weeks of training camp, he's there, but it's more of a distraction than anything else. He's there, but he's showing up on videos and things like that. So, this seems to be beginning to irk the 49ers to the point where they, like I said earlier, are asking the question, okay, do you want to be here? Do you want to be in Pittsburgh? What's the story? Let's get this thing resolved.
Matt, here's what I've been saying all day, and maybe you can just sort of like help direct me, because if I'm the 49ers, I would very much look at it this way. You said you wanted us to pay you. We're saying we can't give you...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Exactly what you want, even though we really like you. That led to Brandon saying, trade me to a place that will pay me. And then we did that. And you said no. If I'm the Niners, at that point, I hang up the phone and tell Brandon, we'll see you whenever the hell you decide to see us. And that's the end of the conversation. That's what I can't figure out. They gave him what he wanted, and he still said no with this Patriots thing. So why are they still engaging?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, to me, I think that part of it was to show Brandon Ayuk, okay, these are the teams that are interested in trading for you and paying you a contract that you'd like. Let's go. And, two of them apparently weren't to Brandon Ayuk's liking. Now, this third team, the Steelers, is, but I think that the trade compensation is not to the 49ers' liking. So this is all what I call the anatomy of a stalemate. This is why we're not getting anywhere, because none of this lines up. Now, maybe there's a three-team trade somewhere out there that satisfies everybody. I'm not sure. I still think that the 49ers want to have him back. It's very hard for me to see them getting anything, especially this year, that equates to Brandon Ayuk. This is a championship year for this team. And Ayuk is their best receiver. And in a lot of ways, he's what makes this this offense tick, because he can stretch the field and, he's a big part of the deep passing game, nearly 20 yards a catch last year. So it's very hard to see the 49ers getting anything, certainly in 2024, that would even come close to what Brandon Ayuk was able to deliver to them last season.
If there are hard feelings, do you get the sense that it's not so beyond the pale, not irreparable, to where he could come back and theoretically still be a part of a week one offense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is sort of a book on these types of negotiations. I remember, if you guys can remember back to 2009 and Michael Crabtree's ridiculous holdout to begin his career, where he reasoned that, you know, even though he was picked at this spot, he should have been picked higher, so he should get paid that amount of money. And that lasted into October. And that was just nonsensical, absurd, and everything else. And as soon as Michael Crabtree was in the building, it was, welcome aboard, Michael. And as soon as he caught a touchdown pass, it was, Michael Crabtree's fantastic. And the fans forgave him very quickly. Now, if this is protracted and Brandon Ayuk does eventually come back to the 49ers and there are issues, if he gets hurt or if he's just not nearly as productive as he's been in the past, I think that there could be some hurt feelings among the fan base and among the 49ers officials.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, with us here, Willard and Dibs. Matt, there's this concept or idea now because, and I think Silver's article yesterday is a big part of it, there's this idea that it's tense and Kyle is really annoyed, maybe even mad. And so the idea is maybe Brandon's like at practice causing problems. Can you speak to that? Like what are the emotions? What's happening there on the daily basis?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that because, when he's out there, it doesn't seem to be a big distraction. I mean, it's a distraction to media members and to people in the stands who are taking videos, but I don't really think that it's affecting the practices at all. I will say, though, that there were a couple instances where Brandon Ayuk is out there. He's watching from the sideline, and John Lynch kind of walks over and either kind of takes him, to the spot where John watches practice, or in one instance, I watched this, he kind of takes him all the way back into the team headquarters. So, I guess that could be a sense that they'd rather have him out of sight when he's around. The other part of it is that there's this ridiculous notion that he arrived with a neck and a back issue, and that's why he's not practicing, not because of any contract. That's officially why he's not practicing. So maybe that's what's annoying Shanahan, that if you're here, if you're healthy, if we're dealing with all sorts of real injuries at wide receiver, and they are, you ought to be back out here. You're under contract. You should be practicing with your team.
How much of that affects what the 49ers are going to do? Not necessarily the Ricky Pearsall nagging injuries, but just looking at their depth at wide receiver and realizing that if you don't have Brandon Ayuk, who will you turn to as your second wide receiver in most of your formations?
Well, I mean, Brandon Ayuk's been holding in. Debo Samuel's been having his best camp since, 2019 when he was a rookie. He looks good. He looks motivated. And he's happy. I mean, you just kind of see that in his body language. So it's a real sharp contrast between him and his good friend, his close teammate, Brandon Ayuk. And Juwan Jennings has looked good as well. So those are your top two guys. Now, they like to use Juwan out of the slot. They like to use him as the third receiver on third down. So I don't know if it'll be exactly, those are your two starters. I think Chris Conley would probably be the other guy in the mix for a big role. Someone started to come on at the end of last season, looked good in the Super Bowl, looked good in the playoffs, and he's also been consistently good in camp. So those would probably be your top three with Ricky Pearsall, if he's healthy, right there after that.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, with us here, Willard and Dibs, obviously talking about the Brandon Ayuk situation. Matt, maybe I'm making this up in my head, but just kind of listening to you talk about this a few minutes ago, it sounds to me like you think still the most likely outcome is Brandon on the 49ers. Do you believe that?
I think... let me phrase it this way. I think that's still the outcome that the 49ers want. It's up to Brandon Ayuk to decide whether he wants that or not. I mean, I don't know what the trade package is that Pittsburgh is offering right now. But I do know that the 49ers would prefer to have a wide receiver as part of that trade package. And you look up and down the Steelers roster, and there are not a lot of desirable wide receivers. This is why the Steelers would be interested in this scenario. There is reason for the 49ers to say no to this. But another reason is to keep Brandon Ayuk. I mean, if Washington and Pittsburgh are the two places that he wants to go, and Washington's not interested in the contract, and Pittsburgh doesn't have the ammunition to work out a deal, the 49ers are basically telling Brandon Ayuk, okay, it's time to go to your third option, which presumably is the 49ers.
How often do these three-team trades happen? Because you mentioned it earlier, and I was thinking about the NBA where you get a six-team trade involving Klay Thompson. But in the NFL, are these commonplace?
No. I mean, I'm as you were formulating that question, I was trying to think of one in my mind, and I couldn't pull one. But that would seem to be, like I said, and the 49ers need something that helps them in 2024. Look up and down that Steelers roster. I mean, there are a couple of great players on that team. I think Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt, maybe a couple of others, but I doubt that the Steelers would ever kind of throw that into the mix of compensation.
Matt, have you gotten a sense, being around the guys, what his teammates think of all of this right now?
I thought that Nick Bosa's comments yesterday were really poignant. I mean, he was saying that, Brandon Ayuk would be very, very hard to replace, given everything that he does. And I talked about the downfield ability, but it's the little stuff that he does as well. I mean, the blocking that you see for Christian McCaffrey deep down the field, the blocking for Deebo Samuel, things like that. My thought is that the 49ers have the wide receiver position for them over the years has been very, very hard to satisfy. Kyle Shanahan is a very exacting coach, and that's especially true when it comes to wide receivers. And very few pass muster with him. And Brandon Ayuk is the rare example of somebody who has. And he's a homegrown product, a guy that the 49ers drafted. And to part ways with him now, I just think that would be a loss for the organization, not just losing Brandon Ayuk, but it's an L on the scoreboard for them. So that's why I would think that the 49ers would still, even at this juncture, want to hold on to this guy.
And I know we already talked Pearsall a little bit, but like, what is their confidence level that he really can step into this role, and can they know that at all before you actually see him in live games?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're seeing what he does best, which is he's very quick. He gets open, and that's everything in this league. Now, staying healthy, that might be the only thing that's more important than that to a wide receiver, and that he hasn't checked that box yet. So that's a question mark. But I do think that they feel like if he gets into games, and I think the plan is to kind of sprinkle him in very here and there early on, that he's gonna work out. It's not gonna be too big for him. He's gonna get open. Brock Purdy's going to find him. It's going to be a good marriage. But to say that he can step in for Brandon Ayuk, I think that's a little bit too ambitious.
Matt, great to have you today, man. Thank you so much for making some time.
Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
thanks, Matt.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, latest on the Brandon Ayuk situation, and I'm sure, I bet your first thought is the same as mine, and I wonder if our listeners all kind of feel the same way. First thought that pops to mind, that he sounds a little bit more on the side of this is not done yet with the 49ers, more than the national media sounds.
Certainly, and you know, Pittsburgh media is frothing at the mouth over the idea of acquiring Brandon Ayuk, and you know, they're at the goal line, they're at the one-yard line, and this is imminent, it's about to happen. And then you get the report out of New England where there was $32 million average annual value on the table, and Brandon ostensibly nixed the deal. The Niners had a package of picks and players or whatever coming back from New England, and Ayuk was the one to say no to $32 million a year. And if that's true, that kind of blows a lot of this out of the water. It makes me think that maybe Brandon Ayuk is not serious about being traded at all.
Well, yeah.
Maybe he's just into making noise right now.
Well, it's really weird because if the goal was getting your money and you want the AAV to be commensurate and you know, is there ego there? Whatever. If that's the goal, and remember, Filippone just the other day said to us in Pittsburgh, he said the thought was he'd be willing to give Pittsburgh a little bit of a discount. In other words, the thought might be Pittsburgh's only offering about 28 or 29. Well, if you're willing to do that for Pittsburgh, why aren't you willing to do that for San Francisco?
Maybe San Francisco's at 24.
Well, the report was 26. In other words, yeah. I mean go backwards. Go backwards, because 26, especially when it was offered, was not that much of a discount.
It wasn't, but so it is now.
Yeah, but why are you willing to offer Pittsburgh a discount?
Well, if Pittsburgh's offering 26, I would imagine that's going to be a no from him, dog. But
I don't know.
If 32 from New England's not good enough, and a discount from Pittsburgh would be, let's just call it 29.5 average annual value, $29.5 million a year. That's more than the 26 the Niners offered.
Well,
so that becomes, you know, if you're willing to take a few million less than you would have gotten from New England, but it's a few million more than what was offered from the Niners way back when in April or May, then yeah, that's a discount, but it's still more than what the Niners were reportedly offering.
I wonder what y'all make of this, too. Listen to this. We haven't done this one yet. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, earlier today. Now, compare this to what Matt Barrows just told us.
If Brandon Ayuk wants to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, if he will only sign an extension there, which that hasn't specifically been conveyed to me, but he certainly does feel like that's a place that he would like to be, then that's where he's going, right? Because that's sort of where we are with players nowadays, the kind of leverage they have, the kind of power they have. If Brandon Ayuk wants to go to the Steelers, then eventually that's likely where he will be going. It's just complicated. The 49ers have to get a deal that they would like. We will see whether it is with the Steelers, whether it's picks or a player. I know if it was a couple other teams, maybe they would have gotten a receiver. Maybe that's something still in their mind. We will potentially soon find out, hopefully, God willing. Then there's the contract, which also have to be agreed to. These are not simple transactions, which is probably why, for the last 3 or 4 days, we've all been telling you the same thing. It's not quite done yet.
First of all, I don't know why NFL Network's got, like, the whole Unsolved Mysteries music going on in the background. However, it is an unsolved mystery, what's happening with Brandon Ayuk. But listen to Rappaport, who essentially says, if Brandon's only going to agree to go to the Steelers, then Brandon's going to the Steelers. Matt Barrows will tell you that the 49ers are still very much hoping and thinking it's alive that Brandon will be a 49er. And I'd argue that they're one for one. You know, they had a trade in place to the Patriots, and Brandon said no, which in theory, on some level, means he'd rather still be stuck as a Niner without any money then get a boatload of guarantees to go to New England.
That's an interesting way to put it. You know, he'd rather take 14.1 here.
That's a risk,
than get
32
right? 32 in New England, and it's a risk because you get hurt, and that could be it for your career. 14.1 instead of, if you get 32 over 4 years, that's 128, and you know, maybe 45 of it's fully guaranteed at signing. That sounds like a better bet in case of injury than staying in San Francisco, but it's interesting because we asked Matt indirectly the same question that we were throwing around on our show thread, and I wonder if people would agree at 888-957-9570, because Grandy threw it out there and said most likely to least likely, and he put number one, doesn't get traded, doesn't get extended. So fifth-year option, $14.1 million. Grandy thought the second most likely was that he signs an extension, and that the third most likely was that he gets traded. And then I weighed in with mine, which was traded first, fifth-year option second, extension for me is off the table. And then you kind of weighed in with exactly what Matt Barrows was saying, which is...
I flip two and three.
Most likely
is the Niners hold him and hold his rights.
Second
most likely trade, yeah. Third most likely extension.
Right, and I think that's what Matt was intimating. He didn't go through all three scenarios, yeah. But none of us even talked about the idea of a possible extension.
Well, you throw that out there, 888-957-9570, if we just made it easy and put one word on each of those. Keep, trade, or extend. I mean, extend is keep also, but you get the idea.
Yeah, keep is keep nothing what, happens.
Okay, yeah. Fifth year option, right? Extend or trade. You can put those in order of likelihood. I think it's fifth year option, then trade, then extension. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on that. Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.